Hey everybody, welcome to Talking Stuff, the Ohio State Recruiting Podcast brought to you by Letterman Row and Byers Automotive. If you're looking for an auto, head to ByersAuto.com. Find the best selection of new and used vehicles in Central Ohio. If you're looking for Ohio State recruiting stuff, stay right here. Tonight, myself and Andrew Ellis are going to be talking about Ohio State football recruiting, what's happening in the world of Buckeyes, efforts. And maybe we'll talk to Sam Spiegelman from On3.com as well, get him in for a minute to talk about the latest in the Tackett Curtis recruitment, and of course, the anyone else Ohio State's recruiting in the Louisiana, East Texas world. So let's get to it. Andrew, it's time for stuff. Let's talk stuff. It's been a while since we've talked stuff, so let's talk stuff first about the most important stuff that's stuffed recently, which is, of course, the commitment of Dylan Raiola last week. The afterglow has sort of calmed down. Everyone's back to normal. The Buckeyes are pushing ahead. And the question that people keep asking me, of course, is what happens in 23? Because now you have Dylan Raiola as the quarterback in 2024. Ohio State still wants one in 2023. What do they do?
I mean, I think we're not going to know the answer to that until we see a couple more offers go out maybe here in the next couple months during camp season. I think anybody who's got their sights set on Dante Moore or a guy of that caliber probably wants to move down the list a little bit. I don't think Ohio State's really involved there. And I really don't think we're going to have an answer until Ryan Day and Corey Dennis get to see a couple more guys throw here in the coming months.
Yeah, it's starting. I mean, it starts 2 weeks from now, period. I mean, June 1st is camp season starts for Ohio State. And on that day, Baylor commitment, Austin Novosad. I don't know exactly how to pronounce his last name. I'll figure that out. Novosad. He's from Texas. He's coming to Ohio State to work out for Ohio State and throw for Ryan Day and Corey Dennis. So if you're looking for like a new name to look into, I got a tip on that one from our Inside Texas guys with On3.com that the Buckeyes have been sniffing around with Austin. And at that point, now it's, you know, whoever wants it is going to get it at this point. Ohio State's going to probably see a different quarterback or two every camp and then make an offer. And then if that guy wants it, that's your opportunity. And so I wrote about it last week, and it's actually kind of nuts to me to think about. If you go back to Dwayne Haskins as a redshirt sophomore, heads off to the NFL. Justin Fields, redshirt sophomore, heads off to the NFL. C.J. Stroud will be a redshirt sophomore this year when he heads off to the NFL. Next year, Kyle McCord will be a redshirt sophomore and could head off to the NFL. The year after that, Devin Brown could be a redshirt sophomore and head off to the NFL. And then the class of 2023 quarterback, believe it or not, as crazy as it sounds for everyone looking at the roster and saying, oh, this is such a loaded position. In 1 year of playing quarterback at Ohio State as a redshirt sophomore, it could be off to the NFL. So like, it's not like a position where there's no path to playing time or there's no opportunity to get developed and still make it to the NFL. It's right there in front of this guy.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of weird when you look at it that way, but it's just what guy is going to want to kind of be sandwiched in between the McCord, the Devin Brown, and now Dylan Raiola. I think that's going to be the tricky part. And we know the transfer portal's out there too, as an option. I don't know if Ohio State has any intention of going that route rather than finding a prep quarterback. But there definitely is a path to playing time. And when you kind of, it's kind of weird to say that just knowing how the quarterback recruiting has gone lately.
I think the interesting thing is that the transfer portal becomes a much more realistic and probably much more important avenue if Devin Brown somehow beats out Kyle McCord next year, because then you potentially are looking at going into next spring or end of next spring with just Devin Brown and whoever the 2023 quarterback ends up being. And at that point, you now need a veteran in that room. I think the best case scenario for Ohio State is that it plans out exactly like I just said, McCord for a year, Brown for a year, 2023 guy for a year, and then Dylan Raiola for 2 years. And that's what you're hoping for, but it's not necessarily guaranteed to go that way. And, the Buckeyes want a quarterback. They need a quarterback. And in my mind, they probably need two quarterbacks, but that seems like a stretch. But it is sort of the most important question, I think, for people as to how that plays out. But it doesn't need to be the most important question at this point, or you just at some point just chalk it up and go, hey, you know what? Ryan Day seems to know what he's doing.
I mean, I think we just with Raiola now committed, we're just kind of, I think a lot of people are just kind of not caring about 2023 maybe so much. But, and I said this last week or the other week when we talked on here, I think over the next couple months, just who is going to emerge as that target, whether it's the Baylor kid or somebody else. That's going to be one of the bigger kind of under the radar storylines here over the next coming weeks and coming months?
Yeah, because it's super important. I mean, it's not a wide receiver position where you're talking about adding a fourth wide receiver in a class or something like that. You're talking about a guy that is going to be, could be very potentially the backup quarterback next year for Ohio State. I mean, that it's that sort of urgency.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to run into another one of those first year Justin Field situations back in 2019 when there was just nobody behind him. Right. Because that can be disastrous. And I know they're going to try to avoid that at all costs.
Yeah, and that's why you just have to go out there, and we've talked about it before, but recruit the best player every year, every time, and let the chips fall where they may. And Ohio State's not going to give up the chase for Dante Moore. They're not going to give up the chase for Dylan Lonergan. They're not going to give up the chase for these guys that they've been recruiting. But at the same time, you got to be realistic and understand that these kids are looking at bigger pictures, because even though there is a path to playing time, it's still a path to playing time in 3 years. So you got to find someone that wants to develop in that freshman year and then wants to play part-time in his redshirt freshman year and then is ready to emerge as a sophomore, redshirt sophomore. So that's quarterback. Dylan Raiola is good. I went and saw him in Arizona, folks. He's good. He throws the ball very, very well. It's kind of ridiculous how easy he makes it look for a kid that just turned 17. You know, he's a special player. You can see why everyone is goo-goo gaga-ing about him. I mean, the size, the ability to throw the ball in space, to throw it with zip, to throw it off platform, to throw it however he wants is really something incredible. And I mentioned before, I don't know if it was on this show or on a radio show or something, but kind of reminds me a little bit of what we saw at Quinn Ewers and the ability to make things happen just sort of from weird angles. But when Raiola is just dropping back in the pocket, he's much more, maybe not much more, but he's more technically clean than Ewers was in high school at that point. And so I think that's where people, you really can get excited about what Dylan Raiola can bring to the table.
Yeah. I mean, just from watching him, he's just so like big and built, you know, I think he's probably close to about the same height as CJ Stroud maybe, but he's just so much, I mean, bulkier, bigger. He's just well-developed for a 2024 kid, I think.
Yeah, I joked with his dad. I'm like, I think that Dylan is actually the same size as Dominic was when he was recruited as an offensive lineman to Nebraska, you know, 28 years ago. So it's funny how that plays out. But the most important thing for Dylan Raiola is how he now serves as the de facto leader / quarterback in the class of 2023 and the class of 2024. I mean, we saw immediately last week him on the phone with players, receivers in the class of 23. He was talking to Bryson Rogers on the phone. He's talked to Noah Rogers. He's talked to Carnell Tate. He's not a guy that is going to be rah-rah front and center on social media, but behind the scenes, he's been active already. And that's what you really want out of your quarterback, especially when he's the number one ranked player in the country, because that's like, you know, added value.
Yeah, I mean, we've already seen some of the big name 2024 receivers, the Jeremiah Smiths and those types that Ohio State's very much in play for, if not leading for. And now you have Brian Hartline, Ryan Day, and Dylan Raiola all there to kind of recruit those guys. I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that.
Nope. And, you know, what we're really looking at here over the next few weeks is just the class of 2023 should start to almost round into shape. And the class of 2024, we're going to see who the real priorities are in that class. And in the 23 class, I think the important thing is that Ohio State cements its, you know, list, I guess, at linebacker, at safety, and at corner, because that really, other than offensive tackle, seems like the defense is wide open at this point and the offense is not.
Yeah, I mean, defensive line, there's a long way to go there. Cornerback, like you said, they've got one guy committed in Dejon Johnson, and we've seen some twists and turns there with the whole AJ Harris saga, which is pretty much behind us now. But I mean, we know what's going on with wide receiver. I think there's only a couple guys out there now that are the top of the board guys, but defensive line, offensive line, we've talked about the offensive tackle concerns. But June's going to be it's going to be a wild month, especially that last weekend in June, which is setting up to be the big one.
Yeah. The Buckeyes have to get offensive on the defensive side of the recruiting. And that's why we're going to talk to Sam Spiegelman, one of the on3.com regional analysts. He's from the Southeast / Louisiana / East Texas. And he's one of the guys in that area. He's familiar, pretty familiar with Tackett Curtis, among other players down in that region. So we're going to have Sam join us on the show to talk a little bit about that in a moment. But what I also want to really focus on for Ohio State is this battle that's developing at safety, because I think it's the important one. I mean, Jim Knowles has talked about how important the safety is going to be in his defense, and the Buckeyes want four. Clearly, they want four safeties in this class because they've got Malik Hartford, they've got Cedric Hawkins. There's no slowdown at all when it comes to recruiting Caleb Downs, Jaden Bonsu, Damon Fagan.
Yeah, and we talked about Caleb Downs last week and how that would be maybe the biggest recruiting win of the Ryan Day era. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is Ohio State on track to get the last visit for him? Is he one of the late June
guys? He's one of the 24th visitors, yes. So, I mean, he's certainly – I don't know if it's the final visit for him. I think it's got to be the last visit in June. So, because the dead period or quiet period starts like the 28th or something. So,
yeah, but it's just strange we're talking so much about safety with two guys already committed. But, I mean, like you said, with Jim Knowles' scheme and how much effort they're putting into those guys, I mean, it's clearly still being viewed as a major major need moving forward on the defense. So
you're right about that. It's interesting. Caleb Downs is good enough that if he was at Ohio, if he was practicing for Ohio State right now, he'd be playing this year. And I've talked to people who cover Georgia and say that he'd be starting by week three down in Georgia this year. Alabama certainly is telling him the same things. And so when you start to look at a player of that magnitude in this class, and I'm just going to say it right now, if Perry Eliano finds a way to land a commitment from Caleb Downs, I hope that Perry Eliano's contract gets an extension and a raise by July 1st, because the guy's going to earn it. And then again, they're still going after Jaden Bonsu from New Jersey quite a bit. Eliano was there to see him this week. And there's been a lot of talk in the message board world and scuttlebutt, because if you look at Jaden Bonsu and his size, you think that this is a kid who could play, potentially grow into a linebacker spot. That's not in the cards at all right now. But, I mean, bodies change, I guess, when you get to 22, 23 years old.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's been a lot of talk about him playing linebacker. I think there's some pictures of him out there where he just looks like a kind of like a chiseled Greek god, so to speak. But from what I understand and from what you said, it sounds like they're looking at him as a safety as well. And I don't know, it's going to be a wild month there at safety. And if Perry Eliano can land Caleb Downs, that's going to be that's going to be one of the biggest recruiting wins in recent memory, quite honestly.
I mean, probably in 10 years. Honestly, you don't want to put too much of a that's crazy to say, maybe because the Buckeyes have, you know, landed five-star quarterbacks in the last 16 minutes or something like that. But like we've talked about the significance of that recruitment and how it could mirror Von Bell's impact at Ohio State and what he did for Urban Meyer. And Ryan Day, because the class of 2021 was so good, I think people are looking at 23 and saying, oh, how does he top it? There were 7 5-stars in the class of 2021. And Ohio State's in a position in 2023 where I did my class predictions over the last week. I think they could be in the mix really for 5 or 6 in this class. And when you're talking about replacing an almost an entire defensive staff and still going out and finding that many big time players, it just speaks to the way Ohio State's program is right now. But also, the Buckeyes aren't doing it with the NIL smoke and mirrors like everyone else. And so it feels like it's a little bit slower burn, but we'll talk, you know, more about that as we go. Let's take a brief break, get Sam Spiegelman from on3sports.com in the mix, and we'll be back in just a moment. Sam Spiegelman joining myself and Andrew Ellis on Talking Stuff. Sam, welcome to Talking Stuff. You were on an episode of one of my podcasts like 3 years ago when we were doing this in a whole different manner and style. That time, the video didn't work, and I just heard your dulcet tones the entire time. It was wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, I remember that talking to Miche, and I think I was in a hotel somewhere in Dallas or Houston, and I was just roaming talking to you for about 2 or 3 hours. So I'm doing very
Adelaide. Boy, oh boy, Miche Adelaide. That's a name we haven't said in a while. Wow. And probably for good reason. Let's talk Tackett Curtis first, because he's the guy. You're in Louisiana. Tackett Curtis over there in Manny, Louisiana. Is it pronounced Manny or is it some weird Cajun accent that I don't know?
It's just Manny.
Manny. Not so Manny, not Manny.
It's Manny, and if you are from Manny, you're Manny Made, and that's their slogan.
Manny Made. Okay. Well, Tackett Curtis is Manny Made.
He certainly is. He's basically the face of that slogan. If you think
his nickname is Rambo. And actually, you know, they've got a couple other players at Manny High School that are interesting mm-hmm. players to watch. We'll talk about them as things unfold this summer. But there are other guys at Manny as well. Tackett Curtis, give us a little bit of an insight, Sam, into why he's the fourth-ranked linebacker in the country and why you think teams like Ohio State and, you know, Miami and those are the USC are chasing him so hard.
Well, the cool thing about Tackett is obviously he's, you know, he's the nephew of the head coach at Manny, which is it's a powerhouse in that little neck of the woods in Louisiana. They make it to the state championship, if not every year, every other year. It's just a community that's really high on football. It kind of reminds you of a Midwestern town, you know, that just that mentality. And Tackett has been kind of an alpha of that program since he was a freshman. He's kind of played this hybrid, you know, safety linebacker role that's been adjusted and tweaked over the years. And last year he played quarterback, you know, kind of that selfless kid that's going to do whatever for his team. But, you know, he's a safety by trade that's grown into this linebacker's body. So you have all the, you know, the exciting trait to the safety that, you know, he's instinctual in coverage. He can come down and pop you. That also applies, you know, playing linebacker and the way they use him at Manny. He's 10 yards off the ball. So he's basically playing middle linebacker, free safety, some hybrid of the two. He flies to the football sideline, the sideline speed, the athleticism for the linebacker today to drop back into coverage. And you talk about the schools that he's in the mix for, with Ohio State being, you know, front and center, Wisconsin, Michigan. He fits the Big Ten mentality really well.
Yeah, that's what the first time I really spoke to Tackett was last, I think, April. And he told me at the time, like, he felt like a player that was a Big Ten style of player. I've had it reiterated to me a few times since and talking to people around the program that he would prefer probably to play in the Big Ten. He just likes that style of defense. Also, do they spell Midwest town differently down there? Is it T-A-U-X-N?
Town? No, that's only for when you're going to the town.
So G-A-U-X-ing to the town.
To the town, correct.
Okay, cool.
You've been in this town, Berm. You don't act like you don't know.
Never. I don't know anything about New Orleans. I've heard about it, but it seems like a wonderful place. I've heard of hand grenades and, you know, other things of that nature. Never experienced them myself, but I imagine
they're coming on strong these days.
They always do. You know, Sam, as you look at a player like Tackett Curtis, why are the traditional SEC powers like LSU, Georgia, Alabama not involved?
I think the biggest thing with LSU is the coaching transition. You know, it's trying to find a fit, and this new LSU staff has been more involved than the previous staff. The previous staff, it wasn't working out with what those coaches were looking for. You know, Louisiana is a unique part of the country in which LSU gets kind of its first crack to offer its kids. But when you offer a kid in Louisiana at LSU, you have to be willing to take their commitment. And, you know, Tackett obviously got the offer, but there's two other, you know, three other safeties in this state that LSU, this new staff, has kind of, you know, prioritized ahead of Tackett. Linebacker, you know, I think they'd like to see him work out there, which, you know, remains to be seen if he wants to do that, because there's schools elsewhere in the country that don't want him to work out and will take him as take his commitment any day now. So it's really on what he really feels best. You know, he likes LSU. You know, he's from Manny, Louisiana, but he's been very open about it. Just because he grew up rooting for a team doesn't mean that, you know, it's the best fit for him in terms of his future. So the Alabamas, the LSUs have not been involved. You know, they've all been around Manny. They've all expressed interest. I think what it came down to was the coaches that kind of vibed with Tackett. And it just happened to be the Ohio State staff and Jim Knowles in particular. Before that, you know, Lincoln Riley, Jim Harbaugh, just different coaches have vibed with him. And some of these SEC coaches just haven't.
I know that recently you were in Texas. You saw Calvin Simpson Hunt. It's a player Andrew really likes on his film, is a big fan of his. I mean, this is a player, a Texas Tech commitment, who sort of, it's been, 3 weeks ago, and no one really was talking about him, and now everyone is. What is it about a kid like that when these schools are making their way through Texas, when they stop in and go, wait a second, we need to take another look at I don't Waxahachie. How does that pronounce? Waxahachie. What the? It's a strong X. I would have never guessed that. Why are these schools all of a sudden just matriculating to Waxahachie? What are they watching? Well, Waxahachie.
You know, honestly, if you've been to DFW, if you're recruiting that area, if you're recruiting Texas, you know, there's just so many schools that you can get to. Waxahachie has not always been this powerhouse full of, you know, a ton of prospects, but Calvin has been there. And he, you know, he had a great junior season, so don't get me wrong. But really with all the accolades on during track season, Waxahachie had a deep run in track and field, and the more schools got word of the times, they finally got a chance to go see what he looked like in person. I think that from talking to people at the high school, I think some people thought that Calvin, because he's so fast, might have been a little bit slighter than maybe what coaches realize. He's of a legitimate 6 foot. He's built very, very thick. He's going to be 200 pounds here in the next, you know, couple of months, probably before football season. He's at a little over 190 right now. Once a certain school offers, it's got a domino effect. You know, if you're in the SEC and A&M offers, you know that Georgia and Alabama and LSU are going to follow suit and take a look at the kid. And if you're in Big Ten country or Big 12 country, if Oklahoma or Texas offers, if Ohio State offers, there's always a domino effect. So I think, yeah, some schools are a little bit late to the party, but, you know, there hasn't really been a spring evaluation period like we've had this year in some time. So you have to give some credit to the coaches, too.
And it's not even like just some schools relate to the party. The media, even as widespread as we are in this industry, like you can't see everyone all the time. So, you know, it's not always easy to find a kid like that. You broke the news on Wednesday night that he has his official visit scheduled to Ohio State for the weekend of June 17th. What odds are there for Ohio State to really get into that recruitment based on what you've heard? I know Perry Eliano is the guy leading the way for the Buckeyes, very good reputation in Texas as a guy that's from Texas originally, but what have you heard that would give Buckeyes fans reason to be optimistic?
Yeah, I think as soon as Ohio State offered, they kind of went about things to the liking of Calvin Simpson-Hunt and his inner circle. They're very focused on academics. It might actually be a bigger priority to them than any other factor, which is why Stanford is probably the biggest, you know, team, biggest threat to watch because of what they can offer academically. Texas Tech is obviously in the mix, but Ohio State, not only is it going to hit on the academics, the history with defensive backs, which is, you know, other people in his circle that are, you know, more knowledgeable of football are obviously, you know, more making him more aware of that. And Coach Eliano has done a good job of not only meshing with Calvin, who is going through things as mature as a 17-year-old can do things. You know, he's not posting offers until he can have conversations with the coaches and the coaches can have conversations with his mom. And to see how quickly they set up this official visit, it kind of shows how quickly the Ohio State coaches have meshed with Calvin and his mom, who is playing a big role in his recruitment. This visit does loom really large. There's a lot of excitement toward it. And he's going to follow this with going to Texas Tech. I think he's going to take at least two or three summer officials. And he's been very calculated. LSU doesn't seem like it's going to get one. Florida will be determined this week. Alabama, obviously, he's going to see if he's going to go there unofficially and then determine if they're going to get an OV. But he's, you know, he's not set on staying in state. He's got no qualms about leaving. He's just taking everything in and seeing how it matches up in terms of academics and obviously the development there. NIL is not a massive factor. It's maybe part of the equation. So let's see what Ohio State can check in that department. But I think they have a really decent shot. And depending on what the mood is after the visit, they could be in line for, you know, see how much further they can go in this race.
Well, Andrew, how does that make you feel?
That makes me feel happy. That is good news. So another big visitor in June. He's one of a long list. So that is positive.
You know, I think it's fascinating, and Sam, this will be the last thing I could talk to you about recruiting forever, especially when it involves Waxahachie. But,
of course,
you know, I think that you look at a guy like Calvin Simpson-Hunt, and to me, this is how recruiting should be. And I know that there's fans out there who will be very upset about, oh, this player's committed. What happened to the days of a commitment meaning something and all that, right? But this is a player who 4 months ago, not a lot of people knew about. And he had an opportunity, a big-time offer from Texas Tech to lock in a spot, and he took it and made sure that he's got a spot in the class. And now he's responsibly looking at other schools that fit what he's looking for. This isn't a kid who's offer chasing. It's not a kid that's out there, you know, clout chasing on social media. And I think that it's a real testament to, you know, the people around him that he's handling it the right way and doing it in a mature way, because this process, as you've seen, especially, and I've seen it a lot, obviously, like, it changes people if you let it. And it's pretty great that it hasn't. And you know what else hasn't changed, Sam? You slippery son.
Well, let me just kind of piggyback off that. You know, if you followed any of our reporting on Calvin, and you know, since I've been to Waxahachie, I've been able to report on him pretty frequently, and it's been a like you said, it's a crazy recruitment that's taken lots of twists and turns, but pretty rapidly as new options, you know, emerge. He's really only been to LSU, Stanford, and Texas Tech, and like you said, Joey McGuire came in. Had a great relationship with the coaches at Waxahachie, threw an offer on the table based off his track times, based off his junior film, and he committed pretty quickly. At that point, Joey McGuire said, "You're the number one corner on our board. You're gonna blow up. People are gonna see how talented you are once they get to, you know, go to your campus and see you work out. And we want you to go explore. And if you like everything more than Texas Tech, go there. And if you like Texas Tech more, then you have a spot here for us, you know, until signing day." And if you follow our reporting, you know that Calvin is exploring his options. He's very high on Stanford. He's going to Florida this weekend. He seems to be going to Alabama, and he's going to officially visit Ohio State. He was previously going to officially visit Notre Dame, and that got replaced with Ohio State, which you see, obviously, they're coming on pretty strong. It's a calculated approach. It's a little bit old school, but you know what? He's still honoring his pledge. He's still visiting Texas Tech. He's still communicating with Joey McGuire really frequently. That staff's doing a great job, but he's still exploring his options at the same time. There's nothing wrong with that. He's got to do the best thing for him. So we'll see what happens.
Yes.
Sam, I have a quick blast from the past recruiting question for you. So I recall March of 2019, I saw a tweet from you with a very young Jackson Smith and Jigba sporting an Ohio State polo back in the day. We've all seen what he can do and what we're expecting next season. How does he compare to any of the other big name? There's been a ton of them, Texas or your region receivers that you've seen over your many years of service.
There are three receivers that I've been very fortunate to cover that stand out way above the rest. Receivers. Now they're getting paid, you know, a ton, but there's also a ton of receivers that come out each year. And if you look at like the On 300, there's a ton of receivers in there. They go really deep. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jamar Chase and Devontae Smith are the three best receivers I've ever seen in person. They have been proved unguardable. Jamar and Jackson, they didn't have the, you know, the speed of the, you know, the 4.3, you know, the Tyreek Hills, still unguardable. Jackson's game against Allen in the playoffs, the second round of the playoffs in Jerry's world is one of the best single game performances I've ever seen. And the situation with being Rockwall against Allen, was absolutely out of this world. And for him to step up to that challenge in that setting, I think says a lot about Jackson and how moments don't get too big for him. And we've seen that the last big game he played in, that the moments didn't get too big for him. And he's going to be called in the first 10 or 12 picks in, you know, a little bit less than a year. And some team's going to have another, you know, future franchise building block at wide receiver, like in Jackson.
Sam was with Rivals when Jackson Smith and Jigba erupted onto the recruiting scene. And Sam was the first national recruiting guy to be pounding the table that he was not only a pretty darn good receiver, but a five-star can't miss player. So kudos, Samuel.
Rankings meetings the week of that round of playoffs. And then, you know, that happened on like a Thursday or a Friday night. And I remember calling from the parking lot the next morning at like 7 a.m. saying, no, he needs to be above everyone. He needs, you know, name a receiver he was better in. I still feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, it seemed like you did all right, Sam. We're glad to have you with On3.com. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate you. And, you know, I would like to have you do this more often because I have lacking insight in the part of the country you live in. Tell me more about this New Orleans sometimes. We can talk about it off the record. I'm sure that there's probably rules about what you can say about New Orleans on a video. So thanks for joining us, Sam.
Thanks for having me, guys. And I'll be here anytime you need me.
Adios. Thanks. We're back. Really appreciate Sam Spiegelman from On3's national recruiting team joining us. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. We don't get to hear other voices all that often, which we probably need to because my voice is super annoying. Andrew, we talked a lot about Calvin Simpson-Hunt there, a cornerback, and you know that's one position where Ohio State right now with one player committed to DeJon Johnson, they need two or three more in this class. And you start to wonder what the Buckeyes are looking for at that spot, because for months we talked about AJ Harris. That one's off the board now. We have Kyan Lee still on top of the list. Christian Gray still there. He's going to take an official visit to Ohio State. I believe it's going to be that big June 24th weekend. So you can start to put some talking points together, like who are they inviting when? It brings me to Jermaine Matthews from Winton Woods High School down in Cincinnati, who as a player I'm a big fan of. Very similar style physically, I think, to Calvin Simpson-Hunt. And the Buckeyes have not offered. Jermaine Matthews had intended on camping on June 1st and tweeted on Tuesday night that he was not going to do any camps this summer. And personally, I think he should. I think it's a bad decision not to, just because, I mean, any opportunity to compete is a good opportunity to compete. But it seems like this is a kid who's decided Ohio State's seen him enough times in person. If they were going to offer, then they would. But, man, I don't know. It is so risky when you look at really talented players. He's got like 30-some offers. And, you know, this is a player that's going to play and start in a major college football program in the next couple of years. How bold is it to let a player like that leave the state?
I wouldn't really say it's bold. I mean, he's somebody that I would want in this class as a cornerback 2 or 3, I would say. I'm just as surprised as you are that he made that tweet about not camping, and maybe that tweet means nothing and maybe he'll show up here in the next few weeks. But I don't know if he will leave the state. If he doesn't end up at Ohio State, he may very well end up with Luke Fickell. Do you remember the name of that tight end several years ago who was camp? Was it Conrad? Was that his name? Ended up at
CJ Conrad. Yep.
Yeah. I just remember that being one of those situations too, where Ohio State really wanted to see the guy, and I think he camped multiple times, but I don't
CJ
know.
CJ came to camp, and then the Buckeyes offered another tight end in the camp. Yep,
right.
That they received a commitment from, who then ended up decommitting and playing like D2 ball or something somewhere. CJ did get a shot in the NFL, had some issues, and is now a coach at Kentucky. So
that's right.
You just never know, right?
Yeah, you really never know. But yeah, I mean, Matthews is one of about 5 or 6 guys that we've got on our list of some potential cornerback targets. Daniel Harris from Florida is another big one. I mean, I feel pretty good about Ohio State landing 2 guys off that list. I would say Kyan Lee is probably the most likely at this point. I would like to see Jermaine Matthews camp though. So I'm right there with you.
I would too. And it's not even just him. His teammate, Cameron Calhoun, who's committed to West Virginia, I think should come up and camp at Ohio State. There's opportunities there to make a move. And I think that you brought up an interesting point that maybe not on purpose, but you did anyway. If, let's say, Jermaine Matthews ends up committing to Cincinnati and Ohio State decides 4 months from now that they want to go get him, it's a much harder go-get than it used to be, because Luke Fickell's done such a great job and because Kerry Combs is now at Cincinnati. So it's not quite the same, hey, let's just revisit this in 4 months and saunter in there and bring you back. I think these are decisions that are being made in May and June that are essentially saying, okay, this one's off the board. We gotta, if someone else doesn't come on, we're going to have to find something totally new. And I think that's where the risk is, because it's not as easy as it used to be to go to Kentucky or Cincinnati and say, okay, Ohio guy, you're committed there. Now, join us because we want you now. I don't think it's going to work that way anymore.
No. And if he commits to Cincinnati, let's just hypothetically say sometime this summer, and then Ohio State misses on some of those other guys, Kyan Lee, Daniel Harris, those guys. And then in December, they try to push for Matthews. And then, you know, Luke Fickell and Kerry Combs can tell him, you know, we've been prioritizing you for months now, and they're trying to swoop in here at the last minute and get you. And that, I don't know how likely that would be that Ohio State wins that battle late like that.
Yeah. I don't think it would be likely at all. So I think that's part of the risk that you run here. And Ohio State is still the big dog in Ohio and still the big dog in the Midwest, but the smaller dogs are getting bigger, and there are a lot more, you know, dog parks to play in where people's dogs are getting attention. You know what I mean? Like Cincinnati had 9 dogs in the NFL draft just a few weeks ago. So all of a sudden it becomes a lot harder to be like, hey, your dog is never going to play in the NFL if he goes to that dog park, because guess what? That dog park is producing NFL draft picks, not pups.
That's not the direction I was expecting you to go with that, but I like it. So yeah, you're right.
Sometimes I just, I'm just a dog chasing a car sometimes, Andrew. And this is one of those moments. What else can we talk about? Is there anything else on pressing that you're like, hey, let's talk about that, because these people who are watching this and listening to this deserve it.
Honestly, not really.
Pick one topic and let's hammer it, and then we'll call it a night.
Pick one topic and hammer it. Okay. Let's say Notre Dame. Notre Dame has the number one class right now for the class of 2023. I was doing some like calculations as far as if Ohio State adds Brandon Ennis, Carnell Tate, and a couple other guys. And even with some of those big additions, they were still going to be behind where Notre Dame's class is at right now. I guess I'm just thinking out loud. And now we saw Richard Young is going to be visiting officially Notre Dame, even though they were not in his top seven. And I guess I'm just thinking out loud here is how real is this Marcus Freeman surge that's going on right now? Keon Keeley is another guy Ohio State's trying to get. There's a bunch of names out there.
It's real. It's Notre Dame. They should be a great recruiting program, and they have been for the last, 25 years waiting to have a coach that had a little bit of swag to him. What we're seeing, and I think this is a testament to college football players all across the country, and especially to high school coaches across the country. There are a lot of kids now emerging that are, and I'm going to say this with air quotes, not because I don't mean it, but because I'm trying to make it encompass a broad spectrum. Notre Dame type kids. There's a lot more of them now than there were 10 years ago. I really feel that way. And you start to see a connection developing between younger coaching staffs that Notre Dame's put together. They've done a great job. You've got a guy like, Dellen McCullough, now coaching running backs, who is coaching the NFL, and not just coaching the NFL, but coached Super Bowl champions in the NFL. Marcus Freeman's impact as a younger guy who really can relate. Tommy Reese as a younger guy. These are people that these kids have grown up watching, and they know who they are. And I think it matters. I mean, I don't necessarily believe or buy into the fact that they're going to be the number one class in the country, but Harry Highstead back at Notre Dame with the offensive line coaching, he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, and has been at his previous stop at Notre Dame, and was a guy that absolutely obliterated Ohio State on the recruiting trail multiple times when he was in South Bend before. They've done a great job again at that position. Players like Monroe Freeling from South Carolina, who Ohio State's trying to get on campus, has a much better relationship with Notre Dame, despite the fact that they have other tackles in the mix. And the one area they've done a really great job is the defensive line recruiting right now. And some of that was because Mike Elston did the work before he left for Michigan. But Al Washington, to his credit, has went in there and not let anything slip. And you know that he's going to take it a little bit personal. I'm sure Marcus Freeman, maybe not quite personal, but, he wants to beat Ohio State. I think it's good for college football when programs like Notre Dame and Ohio State and Clemson are getting players that are great people and great talents on the field and off the field. And I'm excited for the Midwest. I think, we talked about it for years privately and talked about it with Spencer and other people on this show. Like, the Midwest for a while was really in a struggle, but right now with Ohio State at the top of the sport, Michigan coming back, Notre Dame coming back, Michigan State coming back, Penn State coming back, Cincinnati, Kentucky, like, it's becoming a much better region for football. And I think a rising tide lifts all boats. So I'm for it. I mean, I think you want those competitions. It shouldn't be a situation where Ohio State can take whoever they want, whenever they want, all the time.
Yeah. The number of storylines on that September 3rd primetime game is going to be just through the roof on the recruiting side, and just old faces and familiar places. Just so much.
Yeah. So much. That one should be a fun one. And I want to talk about Keon Keeley if we can, because I did include him in my class prediction. That is entirely a gut feeling based on just a few conversations I've had with Keon over the last year. I think that it's going to be a hard sell. That prediction is, generally speaking, meant to be best case scenario for Ohio State. I could easily pick three or four other guys that would be like, oh, this is more realistic at the moment. But Ohio State's not thinking, let's find the most okay player on May 18th, right? Let's get the best player we can get who fits the program the best. And that's Keon Keeley. If he makes an official visit to Ohio State this summer, just watch out. I mean, I guess that's what it comes down to if it happens. What I think will happen is that even if that visit occurs, it's not like it's going to be publicized or something crazy is going to be swirling around it. So I just think he's one of those guys that fits Ohio State really well. I know he's close with Luke Montgomery and a few of the other guys in the Buckeyes class. And I just don't think Ohio State's going to walk away from that one that easy. Notre Dame obviously isn't going to let him go without a fight, but the Buckeyes have Larry Johnson on their side. And generally speaking, that turns out well. And Tony Alford is the primary recruiter there, which also generally turns out well, especially down in Florida. So that's why I have Keon Keeley in that class. And we'll talk more about that as we get into the summer, but those predictions, I'm going to try to do one of those every 2 months or so, are going to change. They're going to fluctuate on defense, especially. Probably not on offense. There's not a lot left. Buckeyes have a pretty good idea of what they want to do on the recruiting trail on offense. Wide receiver Brandon Ennis and Carnell Tate and Noah Rogers, I think, is the goal. Tight end, I think that they could probably still take another one. Jackson McGowan, Cincinnati tight end commit, is camping on June 1st, so that's one to watch. And then it's just pray for tackles, right? Pray for tackles.
Yep, pray for tackles. The yearly prayer.
That's it. Andrew Ellis, Jeremy Birmingham. This has been Talking Stuff presented by Byers Auto. Thanks for watching us on LettermanRow.com. Head over to chat about this and more in the Letterman Lounge, our message forum, and Neon 3 Sports Network. So thanks for watching. Catch you next time. See you.